I would invite you now to hear and listen to these words of Scripture for us this day that come to us from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, beginning in chapter 64 with verse 1. The prophet writes these words, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when a fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nation might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we might not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right. Remember those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourselves, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hands of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for their claim upon our daily lives and living even yet today. And now, O God, from the activities of daily life and living, we pray that you will comfort us, that you will quiet our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Give us rest from those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. In my younger years, it was a great treat when Mom and Dad would surprise us and say, "We're going to the Dairy Queen, hop in the car." If it was your birthday, you got a banana split. If it was not your birthday, you got a cone. My parents told us that if we got cones, we could go more often. Not quite sure what that meant, because I don't remember going often. But I remember going, and I remember that as we were getting there and pulling into the parking lot, that there was strategy where we were going to park so that Mom and Dad could watch people. Watching people is fascinating because we certainly do some dumb and annoying things. We especially do dumb and annoying things when we are away from home and we don't believe that anyone who knows us is able to watch. Oh, have you ever been on a vacation, perhaps to some exotic island, and there is that drunk American barking out orders to the locals, insisting that they point him or her back to the ship? Wouldn't you just like to tell them it's the opposite direction that it really is? Or the stories of coworkers on a business trip who take that as a chance to flash back to their college days and act like it is spring break. Or I remember a church member years ago in my first congregation, Gary, came back and said, Oh my goodness, David, it was one of the worst business trips I'd ever been on because of my roommate. He said, what are you supposed to do? How do you respond when you are in your bed? There were two beds in the room, and your coworker comes in and says, hey, I picked up a lady. Will you leave for a couple hours? And it's midnight. Yes, people do dumb and annoying things. There is a travel app that takes surveys. People actually fill out the surveys, which might be part of the dumb and annoying thing, but that travel survey confirms what so many of us already know, the terrible tourists' behavior abounds. 25% of the respondents have said that they admitted to having a one-night stand while on a business trip. Another 15% admitted to buying or selling drugs while traveling. I thought that was dangerous enough to people you know. Why in the world would you do it in an unknown community? However, the survey does not ask how many tourists actually wear those fanny packs. I'll bet those numbers would go kind of high. Ain't ever going to happen by this guy. It's easy when you're on vacation or in an area to pick out those tourists because they tend sometimes to be rude, have wild behavior. Well, it's easy to point to them until we start realizing that we also all have our own annoying and downright destructive behavior. Sit down sometime, probably not all at one sitting, and read the 66 chapters of Isaiah. Isaiah makes it abundantly clear that God is not so well pleased with our arrogant and irreverent actions of the people of God. We all do dumb and annoying things, thinking when no one is watching, but the reality of it is, my friends, is that God always is. Let's look at ourselves for a moment, if we can, if we will. Isaiah reflects on the historic ongoing pattern of sin in the lives of God's people. When we read the whole of the Old Testament, we see this cycle that the Hebrew people are in. I'm convinced if we keep a daily log or a journal or a diary, you can see your own cycles as well. When the Hebrew people, the Israelites, are faithful, they are a source to contend with. They are unbeatable. But then they do dumb and stupid things, and they begin trusting in themselves, and their power and authority begins to wane, and then one of the outside countries come in and overthrow them, and they are placed in captivity, and they bottom out. And then they start coming to their senses, whining and complaining, and then God either sends a judge or a new king or a prophet, and they heed the words and they become faithful servants again in God's kingdom, and then they reach to a high status only for that to continually complete itself over and over and over again. In this morning's reading, take a look at verse 6, if you would. There in verse 6, the prophet Jeremiah uses four powerful images to illustrate what we look like from God's perspective and what God is not happy about. Four in one verse, verse 6. The number one thing that sets God off in verse 6 is that we have become like one who is unclean. We dive into sin and drag others along with us for the ride. God has put us on this planet to live a life of love, and we choose to roll around in the dirt. We think to ourselves, God must love me. God has to love me. That's what God does. Perhaps we don't think of ourselves so badly. After all, we keep all of the Ten Commandments. We're not so sure about the other 650, but we'll at least keep the 10. And after all, we're pretty good at avoiding the 7 deadly sins as well: wrath, greed, sloth, pride, lust, envy, and gluttony. Well, wait a minute. As we hear that list, maybe gluttony, maybe greed, maybe pride and lust can be a little troublesome for us today. Okay, we don't do so well with the 7 deadly sins either. The second thing that really irks God in verse 6 is that we offer righteous deeds that are like a polluted garment. Translation: we walk around arrogantly overestimating the little bit of goodness we do display, lacking any self-awareness of how offensive overall we are to Almighty God. How often do we find ourselves looking at another individual and their behavior or their appearance and saying, well, thank God I'm not like them. I don't look like them. I don't act like them. Therefore, I'm okay. But when we place our lives next to Jesus Christ, well, then everything tends to change and rebalance itself. The third thing that really annoys God in verse 6 is we fade like a leaf. Oh, we've all recently seen how some of the leaves or plants have been doing well, and all of a sudden they got hit by a little bit of cold weather and they've turned dark, deep green and withered and faded away. Our spirituality, our love for God is quick to become brittle and lifeless. One temptation hits us, one struggle emerges, and we are quick to point our finger at God in accusation or cry that we now are spiritually annoyed. And last, number 4, the obnoxious things that God hates. In verse 6, we are taken away like the wind. We don't just dabble in dark behavior, we major in it. Sin has such a strong hold on our hearts, our minds, and our spirits that we all too easily can be pulled away from God. The big question that really needs to be answered is this: why is it that we act this way? Why is it that God's own people consistently rebel against God's goodness? Why is it that we, at times in our lives, act like entitled fools, not even knowing or caring that the one we really are offending is Almighty God? Why is our witness every day not Christ-like? It certainly should be. Isaiah saw all those things that were going on around him and said, oh, that you, O God, would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains might quake in your presence as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries so that the nations might tremble at your presence. How did God respond to those words of Isaiah? Well, my friends, when God finally did tear open the heavens and come down, just as Isaiah requested, what did we receive? We received that little child, that babe of Bethlehem. We received Jesus Christ. We received God in the very flesh, touring the world. We received God in Jesus Christ, suffering on a cross, and in short, we are forgiven. You see, that, my friends, is the good news for each and every one of us today. In Christ, we can always come home. We are always welcome to come into the presence of Almighty God, because God will not treat us as our sin deserves. God treats us like those sons and daughters, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, relatives, neighbors that sat around the table on Thursday welcomed. God does not wish us to be gone. God gives us grace and remembers that God desires to be in a relationship and fellowship with each and every one of us. May our lives bear witness to what God has done and the promise of what God will do for each of us. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words of Scripture, for their reality, but for the hope, for the good news of Jesus Christ, his grace and forgiveness that seeks to change, to transform, and to make us new. Oh God, continue to bless us and use us as your faithful servants in the world. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.